I'm excited with what God is doing in this place, to see the work, to see it being such a lighthouse in this region, in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeing people changed, first coming to know Christ as Savior and then conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. And that is the purpose and the goal of us being together, that we glorify God and preach the gospel. I want you this morning, if you can, take your Bible to and open up with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel 14. And we want to look at today faith in action. Faith in action. Many people say they have faith, but is it evidenced through a life that is achieving something for the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want to encourage you this morning and challenge you through the life of Jonathan today as we look through this passage of Scripture. There's some things that we can do by faith for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel chapter 14, if you're able to stand in respect to the reading of God's Word, we'll take our Scripture there from verse 1. 1 Samuel 14. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, and the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozes, and the name of the other Sene. The forefront of the one was situated northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that it is inspired by you, given to us. Lord, you've revealed yourself to us through your word. And this morning we pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would take the word of God and illuminate our eyes of understanding. And Father, we pray that you would bring your word to us, and may we receive it gladly, and that it may change our lives. Pray, Father, if there be anyone this morning that may not know Christ as Savior, may they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And we rejoice in you and in your word, asking you, Father, for a fresh blessing from heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We all are very familiar with the story of David and Goliath, how one was able to do a mighty work to slay Goliath and give victory to the children of Israel. But I don't know many would know the account of Jonathan and his armor bearer, of what he did, how God delivered the Philistines into their hands and gave them victory that day. Jonathan, knowing full well that the throne was not going to be his, knowing full well that Saul, his father, was not walking right with God, continued to be loyal and doing what he can to serve the living God. I think we need more people like that today, don't we? We want people who continue walking with the Lord, continue going on, doing what's right, regardless what anyone else around them is doing. I think it's important that you make a choice and a decision in your heart that you will follow the Lord and do what's right and pursue a life of faith regardless what everyone else around you is doing. You see, we ought not to be disobedient. We ought not to stray out of the way just because others are doing likewise. We need to stand firm and to walk in all the ways that the Lord has entrusted us to do, that we will walk faithfully. He faithfully served God, and God used him in this occasion to deliver the children of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. If you go back to chapter 13, you will find the scene that the children of Israel were so disheartened, they were in despair, that the enemy, that the army had dwindled down now to just 600 men. Saul and Jonathan only have 600 men with them against a multitude of the Philistines. There were so many of them that the odds were so greatly stacked against them. There were 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and soldiers like the sand of the seashore. And they were all against the 600 men. You can imagine that they were all, their hearts were waxed quite nervous, and they were scared as to how this deliverance would come. And so we find that Saul, in his despair, sits under a pomegranate tree contemplating what could be done. And there you see leadership being disarmed, or leadership not knowing what to do in this particular situation. But we find that God uses Jonathan by faith to do a great work. And can I tell you today, God is only pleased with faith. And what can be achieved today can only be achieved by faith in what God can do in and through us. It's not about how clever we are. It's not about how talented we are. It's not about how resourceful we are. But it is about having God working through us and be stepping out by faith, knowing that God will do the work in us. You know what happens today is many people don't get involved, do not step out by faith, because all they only want to do it when they get the credit or the glory for it. Harry Truman, President of the United States, said this: "There's no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the credit." And I think today as a church, well, we need to be careful that we are not trying to single ourselves out to say, "I did this," but that we will do this collectively for the glory of God, working hand in hand to see God blessing and doing a great work in this place. Jonathan makes a bold decision to attempt something that others feared. He attempted that which seemed impossible. To some, Jonathan's act may have been criticized as being brutish and out of line of his command, of his authorities. He slipped away with his armor bearer without consent or knowledge of his commanding officer, and that was his father, King Saul. But God sought to do a great work through this man to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. Now, I want you to see some things here today in our text, and we're going to be taking verse 6 as our thoughts today. But I'm going to take that verse, starting from the last statements and working backwards. So there's three things we're going to look at today. And the first thing I want us to look at is that faith relies on the fact that God has no restraints. Faith relies on the fact that God has no restraints. You see, we sometimes look at situations in life and think it is impossible, but thanks be to God that we serve a God who can rule and overcome the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. He specializes in things that are impossible. You see, God gives you the ability to do the things that you can do, but He specializes in the things where we are limited and we cannot do. And so faith relies on the fact that God has no restraint. I can imagine here that Jonathan was thinking before he went to the garrison of the Philistines. He thought about what a great God that he worshipped. What a great God that did a tremendous work in the lives of his forefathers. And it is that same God that did that deliverance would bring the deliverance even today for Jonathan and his armor bearer. God has great capabilities and he's able to do great things. There is no restraint on him. Aren't you glad that there is no restraint upon God? You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 115, "The Lord does all things that suit him." Whatever he pleases, he does. He is not restrained by any man. No man can put a limitation on him. God is able to do all things. I would imagine he thought about God's omnipotent power, that God, by his word, was able to create all things. God spoke the word and things were formed. What a great God we have. He's all-powerful. No one can overcome him. He has great power to deliver. He has great power to conquer. And you know what? I've read the back of the book. And in the back of the book, by the word of his mouth, he will defeat all his enemies as well. Our God is an omnipotent, great God. And so there is no restraint on him. He is not only omnipotent, but he is also omniscient. He knows all things. He even knows the secrets of your own heart. Aren't you glad nobody else knows your secrets, but God knows them? You know, some things that you may say in your mind, you think, I hope nobody heard that. God heard it. God knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. He understands all things. There is no man, and Isaiah 40 says, has there been any man who was able to counsel the Lord? We cannot give him any advice. We cannot counsel him into anything. He knows already all things. Our God is an omniscient God. Let me tell you, he already knows about your situation this morning. That thing which you are fearing, that thing which you are struggling with, that which is crippling you, God already knows about it. And he is omniscient and he's able to deliver you if you would trust him. Not only is our God omnipotent, not only is he omniscient, but he is also omnipresent. Amen? He is present everywhere. He is the only being that is present everywhere. Did you know the devil cannot be in every place? Did you know that the devil, though strong as he may be, he's stronger than you and I, but he cannot be in every place. That's why he's got his cronies, these demons that run around and trying to report back to him, tell him about what's happening. But our God is an omnipresent God. He is everywhere. There is no restraint upon him. You can pray to him when you're in Australia. You can pray to him when you're in PNG. You can pray to him when you're in the Middle East. He's everywhere all at the same time. And he's able to do a great work. You can't say that God is busy in one area that he forgets that he can't do anything somewhere else. He can work everywhere. Our God is an omnipresent God. Aren't you grateful that our God has no restraint? You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he had great power, did he not? He had a magnificent power. He had power over creation. I love the story when the disciples were in the ship and he was asleep and the wind was up and the waves were tormenting that little boat, and they were afraid that they were gonna die. And they come to the master and say, "Carest thou not?" Do you know that Jesus, while he was asleep, he was still in control of all things? He was still in control of what was happening in creation. And so he gets up and he just, by the power of his word, just says, "Peace, be still," and nature obeys him. He had great dominion over creation. He had dominion over sicknesses and disease. He would just speak the word and people would be healed. He would spit in the ground and make a bit of mud and put in somebody's eyes and he would be healed. He will take his fingers and put them in their ears and he will heal them. He will loosen their tongue. He made the lame to walk. He raised the dead that they would come back to life. The Lord has great power and there is no restraint on him. He had dominion over nature. He had dominion even over the demons. When they would see him, they would tremble. They'd say, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus?" The Lord God has no restraint upon him whatsoever. Aren't you grateful that we serve such a God? Aren't you grateful that this God has no restraint upon him? There is no limitation upon him. And you know what? He can exercise and wield his power as he wills and as he pleases. But many times we restrain and we limit his power in our lives because of our sin of unbelief. The Word of God says that Jesus could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. Sometimes the reason why we don't see the great power of God in our life is because we have lack of faith. We have lack of faith in him that he is able to do these things in and through us. You know, when we fall into a problem or there is an issue, we're facing some tribulation, the first thing we do is start to think, how can I solve this? Well, who can I speak to that can help me with this problem? And you know, we go to me-man mortals who have the same limitations as we do. But faith says, I have a great God who has no restraint upon him. He's able to turn things around. He's able to bring great deliverance. He's able to make the hopeless of cases come into great rejoicing and victory. We worship a great God. There is no restraint upon him. And you know, he can bring deliverance. The Word of God says here, he can bring deliverance by many or by few. He can do a work by many or by few. You see, Jonathan sat there, he thought, you know, the Lord doesn't need just an army for this deliverance. Yes, though, he could bring deliverance through a crowd, but he can even use a few. He can even use a few. Sometimes as a church, we think we're just too small. Our numbers are so little. What is our number against all the masses that are out there? Let me tell you, by the power of God and through faith, we're able to do much through him if we just step out by faith. He can deliver by many or by few. I would imagine that Jonathan thought about some of the stories that were rehearsed to him. He probably heard about Ehud. Ehud, who went and just killed King Agag with just a blade, and he just stuck it in him and brought deliverance to the children of Israel. What about Shamgar, who also delivered the children of Israel, killed 600 Philistines with just an ox goad? And he probably thought about Samson, who slew 1,000 Philistines with just a jawbone of a donkey. God was able to use individuals to bring great deliverance. And let me tell you, God has not changed. God is still able to use individuals today. Well, God wants to pour his power and work through you only if you have faith in him, that he is a great God who has no restraint. He can deliver by many or by few. You know, we need to really stop and consider, though I may be weak, yet he is strong. Though I may be limited, yet he is unlimited. Though I may not have understanding how to resolve the issue at hand, he is an all-wise God who said, and gave us a promise, if any of you lack in wisdom, let him ask, and the Lord will give it to him liberally. We have an unrestrained God. Faith believes that things are possible because our God is not restrained. He can save by many or by few. I like what somebody said once. He said, you and God form the majority. Amen? You and God form the majority. You know, it doesn't matter how many people are on your side. It doesn't matter how many people have got likes on your Facebook page. It doesn't matter how many followers you have. You and God are the majority. We need to be more concerned about working with God and making sure we're walking with him and he's on our side than to be worried about pleasing other men. Our God is unrestrained, and faith relies on the fact that he has no restraint. The Word of God also tells us that Jonathan thought and said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. It may be that the Lord will work for us. This was not a statement of doubt. You know, sometimes we think, well, let's just hope that God is with us. And let's just hope that God is in this. And maybe it'll work out for the best. This was not a statement of doubt, but this is a statement of faith, knowing full well that God is for us. God is for us. And who can stand against us? You know, we need to recognize that the Lord is already, by his grace and by his power, already working for us. I'm grateful that God is already, he knows my future, and he's already working towards my future. Aren't you glad that God does that? Aren't you glad that God is not surprised by anything? That, you know, something happens and say, whoops, what are we going to do now? You know, how are we going to solve this? God has already planned all that. God has already worked all that out. God knows the end from the beginning. He is already working for you and for me to bring about peace and to bring about blessing and for him to be glorified in your life and in my life. Now, why is it that many times we do not trust him? Why is it many times that we doubt that God is with us? You know, the first thing that we question when something goes wrong, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And we begin to doubt God's goodness and God's loving care towards us because we are too concerned about what's happening to me. Have you ever thought that maybe the suffering that God is putting you through is for His glory? Amen. Have you ever thought the trials and tribulations you might be facing even today, though you, I think it's helpless and you don't know how to solve it, maybe God has just got you in the right place where He wants you to be, that He would be exalted. You know, in my life, I've often seen that when God works, He brings an idea. You know, we come up with some ideas and thinking, like, this would be a great idea, let's do this. And we go and we try it, and then it just comes down to nothing. And then you're standing there scratching your head thinking, well, Lord, I was sure this was from You. I was sure that You wanted us to do this. And it just seems like it just come down to nothing. Like, it just needs a bit of a breath, Your breath upon it for it to be ignited. And Lord, if without You, it will never survive. And sure enough, God, when He brings us to that point where we begin to recognize it's only because of Him, amen, it's only because of Him doing this work that the work is revived, that things come back. Because when He does that, you stand back and think, well, Lord, it wasn't because I was clever. And it wasn't because I was in the right place at the right time. And it's not because I have some skills or I have some good connections that this has happened. This is all because of You. Amen. And let me tell you, you will find that any time when you're doing a work for the Lord will always bring you to that point where we'll hold back and you think it's not going anywhere. Do not be frustrated at that stage. Do not think, well, the Lord, what's happening? Why is the Lord doing this? Why is He not working for us? Why is this not happening for me? You know, one of the worst thoughts that we have is we think just because we are God's children, we must always have good things happen to us. See, God allows trials and tribulations to make us more like Him. Amen. You see, it's what I call is resistance training. You know, if you go to the gym, how many people go to the gym? I don't, but if you do, it's good. As you can see from my physique, I don't need it. But when you go to the gym, you want something with resistance. You don't go there and you just put, just 1 kilo and you go, oh yeah, it's pretty easy. You can do that all day and nothing happens. But if you put some weight on there, get some resistance, then you get some development. Maybe what God is giving you in your life is to give you some resistance training, to strengthen you, to make you a greater person. You know, maybe God is, what you're going through today is probably what God is preparing you for something bigger tomorrow. I've often found that the trials that I've gone through, when I look back at some of them, I say, they're easy compared to what I'm going through today. You know, the Lord seems to prepare us, to work in us, to develop us, that we would be stronger people for His glory, that we may be able to minister to others. You know, when Jesus said to Peter, said, Satan has desired to sift you, but I'm praying for you. And when you've recovered, go and strengthen your brothers. You know, when God teaches us a lesson and teaches us through a situation, it is really that He would be glorified and honored, that we might be able to help others also. God is working for us today. You know what? Aren't you glad today that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and me? He's working even today in heaven, praying for you and me. He knows the temptation you're facing. He knows the sin struggle that you have today. He knows what will bring you down where your weakest point is. He knows that the devil will come and he will tempt you at that time, but He's praying for you and me. Aren't you glad that He's working for us? The Lord is working for us even today. So faith steps out and says, you know what? I'm going to trust Him because there's no restraint. He's the God of the impossible. He can do all things. There's no limitation to Him. I believe in Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to step out by faith because there is no restraint upon Him. Faith also says, He's such a great God. He's even working for me today. He's on my side. He will not bring this to me because He doesn't like me. He loves me. And even through my thickest trial, God loves me and He cares for me. He's even praying and interceding for me this hour. And so based on that, of that great faith, Jonathan turns to his armor bearer and says, well, come on, let's go. Come with me, let's go. Let's go to these, to the garrison of these Philistines. Let's go up there and see what can be done. I like that. I like that, that somebody by faith wants to attempt something. Amen. You know, we have too many Christians who just come and sit in church and say, just give me, give me, give me, give me. Well, it's time that we say, come on, let's get up, let's go. It's time today for the church of God, for every individual to say, come on, let's go. You know, we're tired of just camping, aren't we? We're tired of just being just in the status quo. We want to move on. The church of God must move on. By the power of God and by the grace of God, we need to move on. There's a great field around here that we see. You know, there are many people that need the Lord. There are many who have not heard the gospel message. Do you know that today we live in a society that's very much similar to the New Testament, early New Testament church? You think, you know, they had it pretty hard back then in Acts chapter 2 and 3. And, you know, they get up, Peter gets up and he preaches that message and 3,000 people get saved. You know what? They did not know who Jesus was. And we have a society today that people don't know who Jesus is. There's some who've never heard of the name Jesus. There's some who've never heard about the Christmas story. They've never heard about him coming or even dying. And what did he die for? There are many people today who are helplessly lost in this world. They are bruised and battered by sin, unable to find deliverance in anything. They've tried it. They've tried alcohol. They've tried drugs. They've tried living in the world. They've tried to fill that gap in their heart, to fill that emptiness and to feel satisfied in this world. But let me tell you, there's only one who could do that, and that is Jesus. And this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you might be looking at in every well and in every place, but that well is empty and dry. But if you come to the source of living water, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I am the water of life. He will quench your thirst. Anyone who drinks from him shall thirst no more, is what is his promise. And my friend, I've drunk of that water, and some of you have drunk of that water, and we can testify to you that he has quenched our thirst. He has satisfied our life. He is all in all, and he lives within us. I'm grateful for the great work of God in our lives. Aren't you glad that God is living in you? Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God is with you? He's your teacher and your guide. Hey, you know, come on, let's get up and do something. Let's do something different this year. Maybe this year it will be the time where you would follow the Lord in baptism. Maybe you're afraid that what your family is saying and what would this be like if I was, you know, commit my life to this church, I commit my life to Christ. And maybe this is the year when you need to get up and by faith and say, Lord, I'm going to believe in you, I'm going to obey you, and by faith I'm going to step out and I'm going to be baptized. Come on, let's do that. Maybe this year you're going to join the soul winning team. You want to be a great soul winner this year. Maybe this year you'll say, Lord, I'm feeble, I'm weak, I don't think I can put two words together, but Lord, I know how great you are, and I know how powerful you are, and I know you're able to do something in through my life. Though simple it may be, God, I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to step out. Come on, let's do that. Why don't we step out today and become great soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of you might need to trust the Lord a little bit in providing for your needs. You're thinking you're struggling. You know, Lord, I know you own all things and I know you provide for me, but Lord, I'm just struggling with being able to be faithful in my giving as you want me to be. Lord, I don't know how ends will meet. I'm not sure how it's going to happen, but Lord, I'm just going to believe that you are a God, a great God who has no restraint. You're able to provide for me. You love me. You're working for me. Lord, I'm going to step out by faith and be obedient in my giving to you this year. Hey, let's go. Come, let's go. Let's do something different. Let's step out by faith and do something great for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe today you're a young person. You don't have to be young. But the Lord is calling you to service. Maybe God has put his hand upon you and said, you know what? I just need you to free up your time. I need you to do something for me. And you might be wrestling with that. You're thinking, Lord, well, how is this going to happen? Well, how am I going to fulfill my duties? What's going to happen with my family? What's going to happen, Lord, for work? How am I going to survive through this? Where am I going to go? Listen, don't worry about that. Just get up and go. As you get up and go, God will show you all these things. You see, he cares for you. He's not going to let you go. God is not going to call you to a work and then he's going to pull the rug from underneath you and say, well, sink or swim. You see, if it is his work, he's the one who's got to make it work. Amen. True? If it is his work, he's got to make it work. For without him, nothing is possible. Nothing is possible. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come, let's go. I know my father doesn't know about this. Had he known about it, he'd probably put a stop to it. And I know that, you know, this seems to be strange that just you and I are going to go and meet these garrisons. But you know what? I believe God. I believe that he's able to do these things. I believe God is working for us already. He's providing this opportunity for us. Come on, let's go. Church of God, why don't we get up and go? It's time to get up and go. Come, let's attempt some great things. Let's attempt some great things for God. Is it William Carey who said this? Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. You see, the reason why many times we don't see great works is because we have not stepped up by faith to attempt some works. Amen? Yeah, we live life every day coming and going, and we come to church and nothing seems to be great. But you see, when we live by faith and step out by faith to attempt something for God, you'll see the great hand of God in your life. You know, I often say the greatest time to be in your life is at that time where things seem to be helpless and hopeless and you don't know what to do. I know you look at me stranger thinking, what are you talking about? Nobody likes to be in that position. But can I tell you by experience, they are the days when I see the hand of God working in great ways. You see, our eyes become dilated because we're just looking for any glimmer of hope. And when it does come, you know it's God who's doing it. We serve a great God who's unrestrained, who's already working for us. What more do we need but to step out by faith and say, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. If you haven't received Christ as your Savior, this morning, I invite you, come to the Savior. He's able to forgive you. There's no restraint upon him in forgiving your sin. There's no sin too big that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot heal and cover. He said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. If your sin shall be like crimson, it will become white as snow. The blood of Christ avails much for you today. You say, well, I'm a great sinner. He is a great Savior. Amen. You say, well, I have great sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to forgive all sin. Amen. He will in no wise cast you out. Aren't you glad God is not a respecter of persons? He does not discriminate according to, you know, what race you are, what color you are, you know, what kind of tongue you speak. And God is no respecter of persons. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. And the Lord calls you today to come to him. Would you step out by faith? You know, would you just trust him that he's able to save you? He's the only one. He's the only answer to life. He's the only answer to eternity. Would you receive him by faith that he's able to do this great work? Come, Church of God. Come, let's by faith. Let's get up and go. Let's attempt something for the Lord that would be great. To see his hand work in this place, that God will add many more to his local church, and we'll give him all the praise and glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.